In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, discipleship pastor at Brookside Baptist Church in Brookville, Wisconsin. We are taking a journey through the book of Exodus, and we're on the tail end. We're in chapter 34. Now, just to help you review a little bit of what we've covered, Moses has been up in the mountain interceding for Israel because of the golden calf incident. And God is ready to now forgive Israel and renew the covenant that they broke. This is a stunning turn of events because God was pretty much ready to say, I'll take you into the promised land, but my presence will not go with you. I'll send my angel. But Moses interceded for Israel, and God listened to Moses. Now, I just want to add here, this is very important. Number one, as we've talked about, each of us should be involved in intercessory prayer. That is, we should be praying on behalf of others, even unbelievers. That's one of the privileges we have as ambassadors of Christ. We get to bring these parties together. But there's another side of this, too, and that is, it's not that God's changing his mind per se, but Moses is realigning his thoughts to the will of God. And that's why it looks from our perspective that God's changing his mind. But the truth is, it's Moses who has changed. He has lined himself up with the character and mind of God. And God then uses that prayer request to fulfill and accomplish his purposes. It's a wonderful mystery and tension in how our prayers relate to God himself. Now, we're picking up at verse 10, and it says, And he, God, said, Behold, I make a covenant. Before all your people, I will do marvels such as not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation, and all the people among them you are shall see the work of the Lord. For it is an awesome thing that I'll do with you. Verse 11, let me continue reading. Observe what I've commanded you this day. Behold, I'm driving out before you the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Now, let's continue to verse 12. Take heed to yourself, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land where you're going, lest it be a snare in your midst. And as we shared, the reason God is sent into this land is this is the land that God promised Abraham, but this land is filled with pagans, with idolatry, which could be a snare and a trap for Israel. And so God wants to remove this sin from the land so they can be wholly devoted to God himself. And so he warns them it will be a snare. And we know from Israel history, it was a snare. Now we're picking up in verse 13 specifically. But you shall destroy their altars, break their sacred pillars, and cut down their wooden images. Now, this is huge. Do you understand what God is saying to the Israelites? Remove all the idolatrous trappings. It's not enough to remove these people. If you don't remove the things they've left behind, they will entrap you. And this is a reminder for each of us. What idols do you have in your life? Now, you may say, I don't have any physical idols in my life, and you may not be bowing down to a figurine. But let's step back for a minute and ask a simple question. Let's take the TV. Now, I'm not saying you should get rid of your TV or keep your TV. That's a personal choice of conscience and preference. Now, I can say this biblically. If that TV screen shows you something that is sinful, that it reveals sinful activity, and you look upon that, that is idolatry. See, you're continuing to watch things on the screen that our Lord and Savior died for. And this is a perspective we've just lost. And I'll be honest with you, it's a challenge. I'm like you. I enjoy a good movie. I enjoy an entertaining story. But today, things are so corrupted that you can't enjoy a good story without putting up with something sinful on the screen. And this is the challenge before us. And this is just one area of our life in which we need to ask the question, do we need to remove these idolatrous trappings from our life? Now, let's go to verse 14. It says, For you shall worship no other god, for the Lord whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. When's the last time you prayed to God and says, God, I know that you are a jealous God? and that you want my whole devotion. That should be on our lips. That should be on our mind. See, this is a love that is pure towards us. And think about it. God is infinite. So his love toward you is infinite. There's no limit, no bounds to his love for you. And we know that because he sent his son and gave up his son so that we might be reconciled to him. So if he loves you with this kind of love and your affections turn towards the world and not him, is he grieved? He is. He is broken because he knows those things can't satisfy. And worse, those things can hurt you. So we must always remember this attribute of God, that he is a jealous God, but a jealousy that is righteous and true and has our best interests at stake. This is the antidote to idolatry. Because all idolatry is worship of anything but God. Now let's come to verse 15. Lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they play the harlot with their gods and make sacrifice to their gods, and one of them invites you, and you eat of his sacrifice, and you take of his daughters for your sons, and his daughters play the harlot with their gods and make your sons play the harlot with their gods. Now, this shows you how easy it is to slip in to idolatry. Eating meat sacrificed to idols, maybe that's not something we typically do in America, but we can see this ecumenical relationship going on. Hey, why don't you come to my worship house? Hey, let me teach you about my God and what I do and my practices. And before you know it, this Hebrew individual has been sucked into the false religious system. This can happen today. There are significant differences, theological, biblical differences between, let's say, Catholicism, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness, and biblical Christianity. There are significant differences. And as much as we want to witness and befriend them and share the gospel, if we're not careful, we can become compromised. Scriptures talk about this. We should not be unequally yoked, as Paul describes it in the book of Corinthians. What does the devil have with Christians? Baal with the body of Christ. Light with darkness. And that's what Moses is sharing here with Israel. We cannot go into this land and think that we can befriend them and partake in their worship. It's not the same God. It's idolatry. And then he goes to verse 17, you shall make no molded gods for yourself. This is commandment number two being repeated. And why? Because this was their sin with the golden calf. Now, what God's going to do is transition from idolatry and pagan festivals to the true worship and festivals of God. And let's not miss the obvious point here. The golden calf incident was all these things. They were making idols. They were participating in false religion. They were caught up in these things. And so God starts off saying, look, if we're going to have a covenant, this idolatry needs to be removed as far as the east is from the west. But like all things in the scriptures, God doesn't just say, stop doing something and you quit cold turkey. He gives you a substitute, a godly substitute. It's the put off and put on principle that Paul talks about in Colossians. Now, here are the authorized festivals. In other words, God's saying, yes, I want you to celebrate me, and I'm going to give you time to do this. Exodus 34:18, the feast of unleavened bread you shall keep. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, as I commanded you, in the appointed time of the month of Abib. For in the month of Abib, you came out from Egypt. Now, I love this particular one because it's an important feast because of its connection to the Passover and the deliverance of Israel by God out of Egypt. That is something to celebrate, God's exodus of his people out of the bondage of Egypt. But we, as believers, have a greater deliverance out of the bondage of sin. Now, Moses continues on. The Lord reveals in verse 19, all that opened the womb are mine, and every male firstborn among your livestock, whether ox or sheep. But the firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb, And if you will not redeem him, then you shall break his neck. All the firstborn of your sons you shall redeem, and none shall appear before me empty-handed. Now, this is a reminder of the death of the firstborn by the 10th plague and God's ownership of the people of Israel. Now, this truth continues in the New Testament. This is why we are called bondservants. In the Greek, it's the word doulos. See, we've been bought with a price. We are not our own. We are God's bondservant. Now, I hope that you're serving him out of love and devotion and gratitude and thanksgiving, not reluctant, for we have a great master who is kind and gracious. So this idea here that there was a price for this deliverance, and that price is going to be the firstborn. Now, verse 21 continues, 6 days you shall work, but on the seventh day you shall rest. In plowing time and in harvest you shall rest. Now, this is a bridge from the past to the present and into the future when they are going to be in the land. The Sabbath rest is for the people, and the land is summarized here as well. Okay? Now, we have other passages talk about the land having the Sabbath rest. But this is so critical. God recognized the need for his people to set aside time for worship, for devotion, and for the family. Let's continue in verse 22. And you shall observe the feast of weeks of the first fruits of the wheat harvest and the feast of ingathering at the year's end. Now, these are two different feasts. The focus to the feast returns featuring two key festivals connected to the land and God's provisions. The first fruit is the first fruits that God gives at the beginning of the harvest. And this is God's commitment to the people of Israel saying, I will provide for you. Now, when I give you these first fruits, don't hoard it. Don't panic. Don't think there's nothing more coming. Don't be fearful. Instead, give back to me to show me that you are still trusting in me. And then the harvest will come throughout time. And then at the end of the harvest, with the bounty, they once again give back to God. So you see the connection with these feasts? All the men must go, and they must all come and give and worship as a way of reminding themselves of God's faithfulness to them throughout the year. And by gathering together, they'll be interacting with one another, fellowshipping, and being encouraged by what God has done in each of their personal households and lands. Verse 23, three times in a year, all your men shall appear before the Lord God of Israel. For I will cast out the nations before you and enlarge your borders. Neither will any man covet your land when you go up to appear before the Lord your God three times in the year. Now, I'm going to end with this part, but look at this wonderful reminder. Israel, obey. Do not fear. I find it amazing that on Sunday mornings, we go to church and there's no traffic, right? God has made it easy for us to get to the house of worship. But we must not fear. And let me stress here, we should not fear men. And that's the point of this principle. Trust God with your land, but also trust in God that he's going to protect you from the enemies around your land. So I pray in this week that you will continue to trust and obey and to not fear man, but to fear God.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at the Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about the Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.